dog date, May 23rd. It's about 2 in the morning. The reason I'm recording this vlog is pretty much because I can't get back to sleep. I've tried reading a bit to calm myself down, but I found I just couldn't really focus on the words. It's way too late to listen to anything on the record player without waking Sylvia up, and I don't think I have anything that really appeals right now anyway. All of the classic rock songs I have on my shelf that I usually bop along to just feel like they would be way too overstimulating right now. Since I really have nothing better to do, I've just been double-checking all my travel stuff. I've got my suitcase packed with all my clothes and my sunscreen and stuff. My travel pack is ready too. I've got a cloud neck pillow, a drawing pad, a few books, a sleeping mask, my night drops. I packed a box of mint gum too for the landing, but it never really seems to help my ears pop whenever I chew it. I made sure it was spearmint, not the ice freeze, as that one's always too strong for me. I'm not sure it's really worth going back to sleep at this point. We're going to be heading out to the airport in 2 hours anyway. Not sure how much of a difference it would make. I mean, this might be the last chance I get for good shut-eye for a few days. I never sleep well in hotels. Maybe I should try to go back to bed. I don't know. Maybe I'll try and take a little walk around the house. Maybe get a little water or cocoa or something. I'm almost done organizing my records, so maybe I could finish that up. That might be relaxing. Part of me can't even believe we're already going on our next Cairo trip. I guess because I always dread them, I always feel they come new quickly. Sylvia has taken me to Egypt every year, ever since I was a child. We always take the annual trip so she can gather documents from my father's old mansion. I don't truly know the reason we have to check up on it so frequently. The place never seems to change very much. I guess as the topics of her research change, she needs new materials. Or maybe she's afraid that someone else might use the stuff in there for something actually deadly if she doesn't take it. I don't really know. She hasn't ever told me. I never really sleep well before these trips, no matter what time of the year we go on them. These late-night wake-up sessions are pretty much normal for me when it comes to this. I guess it's because the idea of the next morning is too unnerving to me. I'll be spending around 4 hours in the air, then landing on the ground where my father was last before his defeat, where he waited like a snake, curled up safe and away in his little hidey hole, feeding off whatever helpless mice he could lure into his clutches. I'm going to end this vlog now and finish making my drink. I'll probably record more tomorrow or later today, as it's 2 in the morning. Akira, out. Log date, May 23rd. It's 10 o'clock, or at least I think it is. I know our time zone has changed slightly since the beginning of our flight. We're still in the plane right now. Sylvia's fallen asleep next to me. Currently, I'm having a bit of chocolate from a plane vendor and doing a few drawings in my sketch pad. My head feels numb, as if there's a thick fog swirling around in it, blurring every thought that tries to form. I guess that's what I get for not being able to go back to sleep. I've tried to nap on these flights before, but it never goes well. The instant I close my eyes, I just end up getting the same nightmares. About being shaken until my brain vibrates against my skull, about being crushed in the dark by freezing walls. I feel really tired, but I know the instant I try to sleep, I'll just be hurled back into those horrifying scenarios. I can never sleep on planes. I've started a drawing. I'm not really sure what it's going to be yet, though. I've done a few curvy lines that kind of remind me of clouds, or maybe the tops of bushes, or the ocean. I don't really feel like drawing clouds at the moment. I've done a few drawings over the course of the trip. I have one that looks kind of like a face, and another that looks like a peaceful little street, somewhere a bit more urban than where I live. Large houses, big grassy yards where you could run for hours. One of the few things I remember about my parents' house is the yard. It wasn't spectacular, but it was more open, and tall trees grew there. So tall that we were able to hang a swing from one. That was the swing me and World Stopper were playing on the day I was taken from home. Maybe I could add some stars up here. I like the idea of doing a rainbow too. It kind of reminds me of one of my album covers, the one that shows stars sprinkling the morning sky. I think this would be a night sky, just with a rainbow. I don't know. It's what I feel like doing right now. I just draw lines that feel good to me and let my mind decide what they are later. I'm really not looking forward to today. I know we'll be out of the air, but we'll be in Egypt. I think I already sort of explained how I feel about that. Not really sure I feel like talking about it now, though. I'm gonna sign off and finish my drawing. Akira, out. It's mid-afternoon. We just finished checking into the hotel. Sylvia went out to try and scan the old mansion. I think she'll be spending a little time there today, but she'll be going back for a longer scavenging session tomorrow. I'm just holding down the fort over here. Our room is small, but it's pretty nice. There are two beds, and the covers are embroidered with emerald vines. The air conditioning's really nice. The cold air feels really good after driving here in the desert heat. It has kind of a fresh smell to it, which I like. I think we may have stayed here a few years ago, during the winter. I'm not sure. Sylvia always makes sure we switch up our hotels as much as our trip times. He's hanging out in the back corner of the room right now. We've drawn the blinds, locked the door, covered the peephole. He's well out of the way of any openings anyway. Maybe I should have closed the vents. There's never a zero chance of anyone seeing or hearing him outside of home or wherever we stay when traveling. I just wanted him to get to hang out in the room a bit. Egypt was his home for most of his life, and it wouldn't be fair if I didn't let him see as much of it as I could, even if that's hardly anything. I'm going to stop talking soon. I just wanted to log a bit first. I'll probably be doing chess or solitaire to get my mind off things for a bit. He suggested the idea. I might go down to the hot tub a bit after that. Maybe that will also help get my muscles to unclench. I'll try to continue a bit later. For now, Akira, out. Hey, so Sylvia got back from the mansion. She bought back takeout dinner, which was kind of good. It was shawarma, basically roasted meat and vegetables rolled in bread. It has a rich, spicy fragrance, but the bread is always crispier than I expect. I think I would have enjoyed it a bit more if my stomach didn't feel like it was knitted up. I think things went well for her today. She bought back lots of scrolls. She's having me go tomorrow to the mansion. She told me over dinner. She's taking me to my father's mansion to find research documents. It's not like I haven't been in there before. The first time I went inside was on my first trip here, which was when I was 6, but I've never liked it in there. I've tried to stay out for the past few years. Don't get me wrong, I can never avoid going inside completely, but Sylvia doesn't make me stay long. She understands how I feel about the place. But apparently, this year, she wants me to do a full-day session. She said it was to help me face the feelings I have about him. I don't see how this will help, though. Every time I step through the door of that place, my senses go numb. There's just something about that place. It's so cold and empty. It's almost as if my father still lurks there, a ghost present through all the scrolls and books and trinkets he left behind. I'm not ready to face that head-on. I'm going to sign off today. I just need some time to process all of this. Akira, out. Log date, May 24th. I just finished up my breakfast. I've got my sunscreen, a bottle of water, and some chocolate with me, as we're going to be spending all day at the mansion. I'm almost ready to go. Sylvia's just taking a few things out to the car. She told me I could wait up here while she does that. I've also decided I'm going to bring my audio diary with me. World Stopper suggested it this morning as a way to help me process what I find there. I think it's a good idea, so I'll give it a shot. Maybe it will keep my head from feeling like it'll explode. My stomach feels really sick right now. You know that feeling, like when you're on the way to the dentist to get a cavity filled? Like all you can do is just sit in the car and wait for that unpleasant, awful experience that you know you can't avoid? That's kind of what I feel like right now. Except 100 times worse. I felt sick last night, too. I had nightmares again, but they were different from the ones on the plane. I was in the mansion, in the entrance hall. I stood there in front of the stairs, looking up into the black darkness. A few times I paced the room. I tried the door, but it wouldn't budge. I waited endlessly for something to happen, but I didn't know what. Finally, a figure came down the stairs. He was far taller than me, and although I could not see his eyes well in the dark, I could feel them fixed onto me, boring into me as if they were peeling through each layer of my soul, examining each one thoroughly to find out just what I was. He tilted his head, full of bright blonde hair, just slightly downward, so only his chin and mouth were visible in the window's dim moonlight. He smiled at me, the same smile he must have given my mother when she came to his mansion. Then he placed a hand around my throat and squeezed until my vision faded to blackness. I could still feel the sensation of his nails digging into my neck when I jolted awake. I have a lot of dreams like that whenever we're on these trips. I know they're just dreams, just manifestations of my fear. But still. I finished packing the car. Are you ready to go?
Yes, I'm ready. Akira, out.
I've arrived at the mansion. Sylvia went upstairs already. She's looking through a library on the third floor. She asked me to start looking for a book in the second floor library, a red, leather-bound one. It should have many pictures of spell circles inside. I can probably get that done. I'm in the entrance hall of the mansion right now. The one I was in my dream. There's no one here now but myself and Worldstopper, of course. It's smaller than one would expect. The walls are made of cobblestone, and there are a few small windows. There's a big staircase in front of me, covered with a velvet purple carpet. A few tables line the walls. It feels so empty, yet my nerves refuse to let me believe I'm alone down here. Okay, I'm going to do my best. Come on, let's head up. Okay, I've gotten to the second floor. I haven't been here in a long time. Which way is the library? Okay, according to Worldstopper, the library should be the second door on the left. Here we are. This is a lot bigger than any of Sylvia's libraries, that's for sure. The shelves reach the ceiling, which sits at a height of at least 4 times that of Worldstopper's. Both of us look pretty small in this room. There's a ladder, but I'm not sure I'd trust it, as it's been sitting here decaying all these years. If we need to look at the top shelf, Worldstopper should be able to float up there. There's a large table in the middle, with a few stacks of books on it. I guess I'll start there. It would be dumb if I missed it just sitting out there. Okay, here we go. There's lots of stuff here. Not much of it's read, though. And they're all super heavy. These must have been the last my father were reading before the Crusaders arrived in Cairo. It's hard to believe he managed to get through all of these. Well, with all the time he spent in hiding, I guess it's no wonder he went through all of them. I've gotten to the last one in the first stack. There's a big book at the bottom of it with a golden scarab on it, along with many complex patterns. The corners are torn up, and the parchment looks frayed and faded. This thing must be ancient. I feel like it's about to come apart in my hands. I can feel the spine cracking beneath my fingertips, and some of the pages are only hanging onto the binding by a thread. There's a drawing of a pyramid on the first page, and the whole thing's written in hieroglyphs. I'm not sure if it would be of any interest to Sylvia. I assume she's probably already looked at it, but I'll ask her just to make sure. Here, there are some drawings. There's one of a man with a serpent head holding a staff. This one looks kind of like a cat. This one's some kind of horned figure. This one has the head of a bird, and this one has kind of a pointed helmet. Oh. I think I know why my father had this book. What do you find? Yeah, that is a really pretty drawing. Is that the palace? Well, it's really beautiful. It must have been a nice place to live. Yeah, well, I'm going to keep looking over here. You tell me if you see anything. Worldstopper just showed me a picture in a book of the palace he used to live in hundreds of years ago. I think he's trying to ease my spirit a bit. He told me a bit about it, what the place and his previous guarded were like. It honestly sounds like it was a really beautiful place to live. A grand palace near a clear river with great big rooms and plenty of space to hang out in. You could go wherever you wanted to. There would probably be plenty of people to play chess with. The balconies would be a pretty place to listen to music in the evenings. I know there weren't records back then, but I'm sure they must have had some musicians. I remember the first time I came to Cairo when I was little. I was pretty disappointed by it. The fact that there were no longer pyramids or great golden palaces, just miles and miles of city. It wasn't nearly as exciting as I had expected it to be. I know Worldstopper felt the same way when he first saw the place after hundreds of years. He's expressed that he really prefers the ancient time compared to it. The architecture was certainly more interesting. Still, there are some good things about that first time. At the end of the week, Worldstopper had Sylvia take me on a tour around one of the ancient pyramids. I expected it to be more golden colored, but it was still incredible. The way the enormous structure towered over me, higher than any building I had ever seen, it really did feel grand, like it could have been something out of Worldstopper's stories. After that, she took me back to the hotel. On the way back, we stopped at a shop for some kind of drink that tasted like hot vanilla. Back in the hotel room, I sat on the bed and sipped it, telling Worldstopper about the pyramid. He seemed just as excited to hear about it as I was to see it. That's one of the only good experiences I've ever had on a Cairo trip. It was good, though. Something I'll never forget for a reason that isn't fear. Worldstopper? Great job. We should probably take this up to Sylvia now. Okay, Worldstopper just found the book Sylvia needed us to get. I'll continue as soon as I take it up to her. Akira, out. Okay, I'm back. I took the book up to Sylvia and asked her about the ancient book on the table. She confirmed she didn't really need it for anything right now. She said I could take it if I wanted to, but I think I'd be a lot more comfortable leaving it here. The next task she gave us was to find a scroll with a bronze seal. She said it should be in the third floor library, which is where I am now. Me and Worldstopper have been searching for about 30 minutes now. He's doing the high shelves while I'm doing the ones lower down. So far, I haven't had any luck. I looked through the basket of scrolls in the middle of the shelf, but it wasn't in there. I'm trying to make sure there's nothing hiding between the books here. Okay, interestingly enough, I found a book with a silver design on its spine over here. It's burgundy, and it looks like it's bound with leather. It smells old. Not as old as the one downstairs, though. It appears to be a guardian record. I mean, it looked like one from the outside, the spine and binding and all. Sylvia has one in one of her libraries, except hers is blue. Most families own one. It's a way to keep track of heritage, how guardians are passed down a bloodline. I'm sure even my parents had one when I was little. I don't remember it, though. Maybe they never showed it to me. The page I'm on right here is just a listing of guardians in this family's bloodline. A place to put all the details before getting to the actual mapping of the inheritance and such. In the top corner here, there's a sketch of what looks to be some kind of stone snake. The name's listed here, Garum. Here's a brief ability description, a list of hosts they were inherited by, and the years they were inherited in. This one apparently hasn't been inherited since 1880. I'm not sure who this log belongs to. It could have been Kronos, but I'm not sure how important such a document would have been to him. He didn't have much family left by the time of his first rise, and I doubt the future of his bloodline's guardians had much to do with his plans. After all, he ended up replacing his first guardian. Clearly, he didn't see them as fit for what he wanted to accomplish. I'm not sure I want to keep looking through this one. I think it's a bit more than I can handle at the moment. Okay, on to the next shelf. So, here we have another scroll basket. The most obvious place to look for it. Gotta be careful. Some of these are probably ancient. It wouldn't be good if the one I'm looking for just crumbled to dust in my hands. Okay, this looks like it might be it. Yeah, that's a bronze seal. Okay, me and Worldstopper are going to take this to Sylvia. I'll continue in a bit. Akira, out. I'm back. Currently, it's around mid-afternoon. I'm stopping for a lunch break. I didn't really bring much except a slice of baguette, a fruit strip, and some chocolate, but that's all right. Nothing really sits comfortably in my stomach when I'm in this place anyway. So, Worldstopper and I are currently hanging out in the second floor hall. We're next to the window at the end of it, a circular glass panel that stretches slightly over the street behind it. The blinds are drawn. They're pretty thin, but that's not much of a problem. People tend to ignore this place anyway because of Sylvia's protection spell. I'm sitting a few feet away from it at the moment. The burgundy circle's painted right below the window. There are a few candles around it, and its lavender scent is really strong. It's a lot more powerful than the ignorant spell Sylvia uses for our home. It takes a lot to make people casually walk by the place where one of the world's greatest enemies used to dwell. I don't know what the basic spell usually contains, but I'm pretty sure it's common herbs and ashes and stuff. This one needs human blood, a bag full. Of course, Sylvia would never hurt anyone for it. She gets it drawn from herself over the course of a year. Then, when the Cairo trip comes around, she'll pack the stuff in our baggage, enter the mansion, and use it to renew the circle. It's kind of disturbing to think about. She really does value this place. So, the day hasn't gone the worst it could possibly go. I mean, my stomach's still churning, but I guess that just goes with being in this place. Don't get me wrong, I'd still much rather be back in the hotel room listening to music or playing chess. I mean, at least I was able to find both of Sylvia's things. I don't want to be here. The truth is, I really don't want to be here. Sure, I've been able to carry out all my tasks and stuff, but the atmosphere of this place still gets to me. It's like I'm standing in a room full of ghosts. I know things happened in this mansion, none of them good. Kronos drank souls, spilled blood. Sylvia did things she would never want to talk to me about. There were others, many others, I know, who served him. I know little of them, and I never like to think about them. But those who would be willing to join him must have experienced that gave them the drive to do so. I feel like they're all watching me. Like my father is watching me. Watching me through all the things they left behind. I know. I think I'll stay for the rest of the day. It's a long drive back to the hotel. I wouldn't want to delay Sylvia on her work. I'll just try to get through it. Take breaks when I need to. I'm going to finish up my lunch now. I'll continue when I'm back helping Sylvia. Akira, out. Okay, I'm back. Currently, I'm in the fourth floor library. It's beyond me why a person would need this many libraries of this size. Currently, I'm looking for a little black box. According to Sylvia, it's supposed to be flocked and have a spell circle printed in silver on the top. It's supposed to have a small emerald green pearl inside. I'm not sure what it does. I know she uses stones in her spells sometimes, and it doesn't seem like it's cursed or anything. She said I could open the box to make sure it's inside. I asked her what it does, but she didn't really give me a straight answer. Not surprising. So, right now I'm checking the shelves. There aren't a lot of knickknacks here. Everything's pretty orderly. We checked all the drawers in here already, which would be the most obvious place for it to be. I guess it wouldn't be that easy. If Kronos was in possession of something truly valuable, he wouldn't have just left it somewhere where it could be easily found. Worldstopper's doing the top shelves again. Worldstopper? In the back of the shelf? Okay. Worldstopper thinks he found something on one of the higher shelves. It's wedged way back between the wall and one of the books, and his hand is too big to reach it. I'm probably going to have to climb the ladder to get it. It looks about as stable as the one in the downstairs library, but Worldstopper's going to hold me as I climb it, so I'm not putting all my weight on it. Yeah. Okay, I'm ready. Don't worry, I'm okay. Okay, here it is. Okay, got it. This looks like the box she described. Yep, it's in here. It's even smaller than I expected. The size of one of those tiny craft beads that weigh so little they stick to the pad of your finger instead of rolling off. Okay, I'm ready to go down. Yeah, I got it. Don't worry, I'm okay! I'm alright, I'm alright. Okay, slowly down. Dang it, I left this on again. Okay, I'm back. Me and Worldstopper just got the pearl from up on the shelf. It was rough, we got what we needed though. If I open up the box here... Shit. Must have fallen when I fell. I thought I saw something bounce across the hall. I can go in. If it's stuck underneath something, you might need me to reach it. It wouldn't be fair for you to go alone. Okay. Okay, me and Worldstopper headed across the hall to look for the pearl. We're standing directly in front of the entrance of a room. It's pretty dark. I can barely see anything inside. The blinds are probably drawn. I can still hear air moving in there, though. A kind of hollow howl. Okay, going in I can see a bit more. There's a few bookshelves in the back of the room, I think. I can kind of see the outlines. Over to the side of me, there's a chair of some kind, just a few feet from a fireplace. That must be where the howling noise is coming from. I guess the best place to start looking would be directly across the room. I don't see anything along the wall here. There's a lot of dust clumps and wood chips, but no pearl. Maybe under the nightstand over here? No, nothing under here. It's really dusty in here. I can feel it all going up my nose. The top of the nightstand's practically coated in it. It's like a little blanket made of ashes. There are only two things on it, a little scrap of paper covered in messy cursive, and a pocket watch. It's kind of golden bronze color, and there are some designs carved in it. It's just as dust-caked as the desk. It was a bit difficult, but I got it to open. It stopped working. That makes sense with how antique it looks. All the numbers are in Roman numerals. Both the clock's hands appear to have stopped at 12. That's kind of creepy. Sorry, I just got distracted. Okay, that's good. I'll be more careful next time. Worldstopper was just asking about the watch. I probably shouldn't have opened it so carelessly. It could have been cursed. According to him, it isn't, which is good. I guess I wasn't thinking. I just kind of thought it looked interesting. Okay, maybe it's under one of the shelves over here. I can't see super well under there in the dark. I should probably go ask Sylvia for a lamp. She'll probably get upset I lost the pearl, though. Hold on a second. No, I thought I saw a glint under here, but it wasn't it. just some kind of metal loop, like the kind that makes up a necklace chain. This chair feels like velvet. It looks pretty expensive, too. The throne-like back shape and the golden accents. This must have been a private reading area. There are bookshelves here, but they're not nearly as tall as those in the main libraries. There's a large rug, a little table. It feels eerie to me. As if when I step around and face the front of the chair, some kind of monster will be sitting there. There's a few books here on the side table. Most of them are pretty small. The paper in these is just as aged as the one with hieroglyphics downstairs. They're probably just as old. There are no pictures in this one, just hieroglyphics. Maybe it was a journal or something. I don't really see anything else over here that it could have gone under. Nothing I can look under without a light, at least. There's a stain here. It's dark and solid and huge. Like a big puddle of something reddish was spilled here, right behind this chair. I get the feeling it wasn't wine. Was it? Did he? Yeah. We just need to find the pearl. Maybe it's under the bed over here. I don't see much of anything down here, just darkness and floorboards. I can fit under here surprisingly easily. The bed is pretty fancy too. The covers are the same red velvet that the chair was. It's a four-poster, king size, even complete with a short canopy at the top. It's all dust cake too. It smells like old sheets. There's a book sitting here on the bed. It was probably the last thing the owner of this room read before they fled or were killed. The pages are fairly yellowed on this one, but not ancient. There's a sketch of an anchor and a ship's steering wheel on the front page, along with a signature. Looks like a journal. Whoever wrote it was a pretty good artist. There are a lot of drawings as well. I see some stains on the pages, little specks, as if something was sprinkled on it. That makes sense. There are a lot of drawings of the sea and horizon here, along with some marine life and ships. Whoever wrote it must have been on a boat for whatever reason. Maybe they were a sailor, or they worked on a cargo ship. I see why this would have been of value to him. On the page in front of me is scrawled a sketch of a muscular figure with long, wavy hair. There's a stripe down his face and chest, and the body disappears into a wisp at the waistline. Maybe around 15 years ago, this figure wouldn't have meant anything to anyone. But now, everyone knows it, including me. It's in textbooks and the best-selling novels that fill every bookstore display. In documentaries and paintings. In the minds of all who have it to thank for their lives. This is Star Beacon, the guardian of Era von Aragon, head of the Crusaders. It's no wonder he would have studied this. A man with a full reign of terror planned had ought to be prepared for any kind of threat. Thankfully, he hadn't prepared enough. This was his room, wasn't it? Well, that explains the expensiveness of everything in here. This was the last thing he read before going off into the fight that would finally end him. My mother must have seen this place. It honestly makes me queasy to think about. I can't imagine what was going through her head when she was here. Just an ordinary person, just as threatened by his ideals as everyone else was. Yet she's still... Let's just try and find that pearl. The sooner we find it, the sooner we can leave. Nothing here. Come on, come on. Damn, where is it? Wait, I think I found it. Right in the corner over by this lamp. Thanks. Now let's head out. Wait, the books? Okay, I'll take them. Can you give me a hand? Okay, let's go. Just let me shut this off real quick. Hey, I'm here again. We're back at the hotel. I'm sitting on the bed. There's a bath running. I'll be hopping in just a few minutes. Well, he's here with me right now. I can hear a little breeze outside. It must be nice in a place that's as hot as this. Sylvia got all her research stuff. She's down in the lobby at the moment. I'm not really sure why she chose to work down there. She prefers to do her reading in private when it comes to stuff like books from my dad's mansion. I think she might be trying to give me a little space, and I appreciate that. Today wasn't an easy day. He was right about those books he told me to take from the mansion. The ones from the corner behind the lamp where I found the pearl. She seemed to be grateful we found them. There seemed to be a light in her eyes that's not usually there. I think it might have been because of the symbols on them. The whole stack had a four-pointed star shape printed onto the covers. I don't know a lot about what that ancient symbol means, but I think it was originally the symbol of some ancient European empire. Maybe Cronus was studying their magic or relics or something. I don't know exactly what role they'll play in her research, but based on her reaction, they seem to be an important part of it. Okay, I'm gonna hop in the bath now. Yeah, I'll be okay. I just need some time to think. Okay. I'll see you soon. That whole place still haunts me. I can't get it out of my head that I was actually in his room. Can't imagine the awful things he did there, to those whose souls he sucked, to his followers who stepped out of line or did anything that he didn't like. It must have been nightmarish. Most of all, I can't stop thinking about my mother. I haven't been able to ever since I stepped into that room. She disappeared from my life a long time ago, back when she sent me off to be killed. I don't think about her in a lot of detail, to be honest. All I know about her really is that she hated me for what I was, the spawn of the most malicious creature ever to set foot on this earth. I mean, she was kind to me before then, but that all changed. I want to know why she did it. I used to believe that it wasn't her fault ever since I was old enough to know how that kind of thing worked, that my father forced himself onto her. When I was around 12, I believe, I got up the courage to ask Worldstopper about it. There was nothing but a cold, empty vibration. Then he answered. It was out of her own will. I couldn't comprehend it. My mother had slept with Cronus despite all the souls he drained, all the people he killed, every innocent person in every corner of the world shivering in fear at the possibility of being his next victim, that she didn't care about any of that. He held me as I sank to the floor. A cloud enveloped my mind, one of anger and confusion and frustration at my failure to understand. I felt so feeble, so small and weak. Makes me sick to think about it, that she could turn a blind eye to all of those stolen lives. Like there's poison dripping down my throat and a whisk wearing away in my stomach, stirring it all into me. It makes me feel like I'm disgusting. Well, the bath's all ready now. I should probably get in before it gets cold. Maybe that will help melt away some of my thoughts. Hopefully Sylvia won't make me go back to the mansion tomorrow. I understand that she was trying to help me, but I don't think I can go back there right now. Maybe in the morning I could draw something. That might make me feel better. Akira, out.
Hey, thanks for- for listening to The Girl Who Could Stop Time. If you're interested in getting news and updates about our podcast, please consider subscribing to our socials at AkiraGWCST on Twitter and at The Girl Who Could Stop Time on Instagram. The voice of Akira was done by Kira Fleming.
The voice of Sylvia was done by Heather Fleming.
The script for this episode was written by Kira Fleming.
The script for this episode was edited by Heather Fleming.
The audio was edited by Kira Fleming. Title theme, Uncertainty, was composed and performed by Timothy Fleming. Ending theme, Warmth, was composed and performed by Timothy Fleming. This episode was edited using Ferrite Recording Studio. We hope you enjoyed the episode, and will tune in for Akira's next entry.